We talked last week about a new way of looking at yourself at the start of this new year, a new way of looking at yourself at the start of this new year. And friend, you know, we've all been there. We've got regrets. We've said and done things in the past that we wish we did not say or do. So a lot of us have I would've, I could've, I should've's, regrets, regrets, regrets. And if you keep dwelling on the past regrets, you end up imprisoning yourself. You end up being shackled in a prison of regret. I don't want to be there. How about you? And so how do you look forward to the brighter future that God has for you? Instead of looking backwards at your negative past, how do you start looking forward to the better thing, to the brighter future that God has for you? You've got to forget your past with God's help. You've got to forget your past, as Paul writes about. And then you've got to start seeing yourself as justified, just as if I had never sinned. You've got to start seeing yourself as God sees you, as a person who is clothed with Christ's robe of righteousness. Amen? All right, so let's forget the past with God's help, God's grace, and let's start looking forward to the better thing, the bigger thing that God has for our lives. Amen? Okay, today's message in connection to last week is this: releasing yourself at the start of 2012. Again, today's message is releasing yourself at the start of 2012. And friend, you know, you may have abused somebody in the past. I don't know who that might be. Maybe you offended somebody in something you said or did, and maybe you abandoned your parents, or you cut somebody out of your life that you were meant to be in relationship with, and maybe you offended that person, and that person now is gone. They're in eternity. And you seem to keep beating yourself up over this offense that you committed against somebody else. I've got good news for you today, and it's this: that just as we are required to forgive others of their offenses against us, guess what? We're also required to forgive ourselves of the offenses we have committed against others. Isn't that good? Let me say it again. Just as we as believers in Jesus Christ are required to forgive others of their offenses against us, we are also required to forgive ourselves of the offenses that we have committed against other people. Anybody here ever committed an offense against somebody else in something you said or did? I know I have. And you might be asking today, really, I need to forgive myself, Jonathan. Give me scripture, chapter and verse. Chapter and verse. So I've got chapter and verse for you today. If you got a Bible, it's Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. And I'll read it to you. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question: "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Verse 37, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." Verse 39 of Matthew 22, "And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." And Jesus says the second is like unto the first: love your neighbor as you what to yourself? As you love yourself. And a key element of love, God's love, is what? A key element of God's love is what? It's forgiveness, right? So how could we read the scripture? We could read it this way: you shall love your neighbor, or you shall forgive your neighbor, as you love or as you forgive yourself. Why not read it that way? Because forgiveness is a major element of God's love. So you shall forgive your neighbor as you forgive yourself. So friends, we're required to forgive ourselves of the offenses that we've committed against other people. You know, a lot of people imprison themselves with regret over the offenses, you know, that they've committed against others. But you got to stop looking backward and start looking forward in Jesus' name. Is that making sense? If you keep looking to the past and how you really hurt somebody in the past, like I said last week, you're going to shackle yourselves in this prison called regret. You're going to beat up on yourself. It's called self-punishment, and we have to do away with self-punishment. We've got to start forgiving ourselves, right? Now, you've got to decide to forgive. I'm going to read you something here from the Speaker's quote book. You've got to decide to forgive. Decide to forgive, for resentment is negative, resentment is poisonous, resentment diminishes and devours the self. Be the first to forgive, to smile and take the first step, and you will see happiness bloom on the face of your human brother or sister. Be always the first, do not wait for others to forgive, for by forgiving you become the master of fate, the fashioner of life, the doer of miracles. To forgive is the highest, most beautiful form of love. In return, you will receive untold peace and happiness. Let me say it again. To forgive is the highest and most beautiful form of love. In return, you will receive untold peace and happiness. So forgiveness is a key element in God's love, right? So forgive your neighbor. Love your neighbor as you forgive, as you love yourself. Now, you might be thinking today, well, Jonathan, how do I go about forgiving myself? How do I go about forgiving myself? Let me read one more thing from this book here, real quick. And it says, here is a program for achieving a truly forgiving heart. Sunday. We know that Sunday is the first day of the week, right? Sunday, forgive yourself. Monday, forgive your family. Tuesday, forgive your friends and associates. Wednesday, forgive across economic lines within your own nation. Thursday, forgive across cultural lines within your own nation. Friday, forgive across political lines within your own nation. And Saturday, forgive other nations. That's a good plan, isn't it? Now, friend, I'm here to tell you today, if you really hurt somebody in the past, which caused a rift and a break in the relationship, you might be beating yourself up over it today. It's called self-punishment. Maybe you aborted a child in the past, and you might be thinking today, I'll never attempt to have another child because I aborted one in the past. Maybe you verbally and emotionally abused a woman in the past, and you might be thinking today, you know what? I'll never get married. I'll never have a spouse. That's self-talk. That's self-punishment kind of talk. If you abandoned a parent in their time of need, you might be thinking, you know, I'll die alone. Just like I abandoned my parent, somebody is going to abandon me and I am going to die alone. And you're punishing yourself in your own mind. And we've got to do away with that. You know, what does forgiveness involve? What is the definition of forgiveness? What is forgiveness? What does it involve? Forgiveness is what? Forgiveness is release. When somebody offends you, God's forgiveness says to do what? It says to release that person of the debt that you feel that they owe you. Right? So forgiveness involves releasing someone of a debt, right? Forgiveness of self also includes releasing yourself from self-punishment and regret. If you ever have trouble forgiving yourself, now remember this, if you ever have trouble forgiving yourself, remember the forgiveness God extended to you in Christ Jesus. Say it again. If you ever have trouble forgiving yourself and releasing yourself of self-punishment, remember the forgiveness God extended to you in Christ. Right? Start seeing yourself forgiven as God sees you forgiven. Remember, when you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, all the sins that you committed up until the point that you accepted Jesus as Savior were forgiven by God. And if all your sins were forgiven by God, and we're to be imitators of God, and God is to be our model for everyday living, if God forgave us all our sins, all the sins we committed up until the point that we accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, that means that we have also got to forgive ourselves of those sins. We've got to forgive ourselves just as God in Christ has forgiven us. And forgiveness is not easy, and you may be dealing with a lot of regret today, a lot of self-punishment, like, I would have, I could have, I should have, I can't believe I did that to that person. I can't believe I said that to that person. And you think about it day in and day out and day in and day out, and the devil's got a tight stronghold on your mind because you just can't forgive yourself. And when it gets hard to forgive yourself, forgiveness is tough. Anybody ever been there? We know that forgiveness is tough, right? Forgiveness is really difficult. When it gets tough to forgive, start crying out to God and say, God, I can't do this on my own. God, I am weak in myself. And when you cry out to God, which is prayer, God will show himself true and faithful in your life. He will give you his grace and his empowerment to forgive yourself and let yourself go of the past things that you did wrong. Is that making sense today? All right, so start seeing yourself. Now in Ephesians chapter 4, I want to read you a scripture here. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. God forgave you of your past sins when you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And just as God forgave you of those past sins, you've got to start forgiving yourself of those past sins. Now think about it this way. If God can forgive you, but you can't forgive yourself, in a subtle way, you are putting yourself above God. Think of it. If God was able to throw your sins into the sea of forgetfulness and forgive you of all those past things you did, but you're not able to forgive yourself, in a subtle roundabout way, you're putting yourself above God. He says in Ephesians 5:1, be ye therefore imitators of God in the context of forgiveness. How do we imitate God in this way? If God has forgiven us in Christ, then that means if we're imitators of God, we have got to forgive ourselves of the offenses we committed against others. And it says this, the Word of God says this, that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. If you can't forgive yourself, but God is able to forgive you, and you're putting yourself in a subtle way above God, then you're walking in pride. And God gives no grace to the proud. He gives it only to the humble. Now, if the person you hurt and offended is still alive, then what? Simply ask for forgiveness for the hurt, for the offense that you inflicted on that person. That makes sense? Okay, so the first way to forgive yourself is how? It's to start forgiving yourself and seeing yourself as God forgave you, as God sees you. Number two, if the person you offended is still alive, if the person that you hurt is still living today, and you know where that person is, you know how to contact that person, then talk to that person and ask them for their forgiveness for the hurt you inflicted upon them. All right, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Jesus says this. Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 through 26, Matthew 5. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. If you know, what is Jesus saying in Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 through 26? What is he saying? He's saying this, if you know that you've offended somebody, leave your gift in front of the altar, go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. How do you reconcile with the person that you've hurt, that you've offended? How do you reconcile with the person that you've offended? You simply do what? We've been talking about it. You simply humble yourself, right? And you ask for their forgiveness. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Would you please forgive me? And it doesn't matter what the response is. They might be like, you know what? I'm going to hold it against you the rest of my life. That's okay. You've done your part according to Matthew chapter 5, verses 22 through 26, right? You've asked, you've humbled yourself. You told the person you were wrong for what you did, and you asked for their forgiveness. Whether or not they decide to forgive you, guess what? You're released at that point. You've done your part according to the scripture. You can have peace on the inside knowing that you did God's will according to his word. Asked that person for forgiveness. Is that making sense today? All right. It'll give you peace of mind getting the details of your offense against that person out in the open, face to face. You know, if you offended a person, if you verbally abused somebody in the past, if you emotionally abused somebody, if you, whatever it might be that you said or did to that person, if you're able to talk with that person face to face, it'll give you peace on the inside. Getting the details out in the open. And it doesn't matter what their response is, you've done what God has asked you to do according to his word. And furthermore, it could prevent the offended from retaliating in an ugly way, because Jesus says it here in Matthew chapter 5, settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Human nature can get really ugly sometimes, right? You know, human nature is vengeful, right? It wants to retaliate. It wants to get even with the person who offended them. So if you really offended somebody, you could avoid a lot of problems. You could avoid a lot of retaliation and vengeance from that other person if you just humble yourself simply and ask for forgiveness. Because if you don't, it could cause a lot of other problems. Maybe all that person is looking for is that humility in you, for you to come to them and say, you know what? I was wrong. I'm sorry. But we never know what that person, you never know what that person may have had planned against you in retaliation. But if you just do what the Bible says to do, what Jesus says to do, it can save you a lot of heartache. Is that making sense today? All right, I'm going to read you something here. From the same speaker's quote book. Now listen to this. I thought this was interesting. In the family album, Arthur and Nancy DeMoss include a story that aptly describes the spiritual consequences of failure to forgive. While Leonardo da Vinci labored on his masterpiece, The Last Supper, he became angry with another man. They quarreled, da Vinci hurling bitter accusations and threats at the other fellow. Returning to his canvas, the artist attempted to paint the face of Jesus, but found that he was unable to do so. So upset was he that he could not compose himself for the painstaking work. Finally, he set down his brushes, sealed his paint pots, and went to search for the man with whom he had argued. He apologized, asking for forgiveness, which his antagonist graciously gave. Only then was Leonardo able to return to his workshop and complete the face of the Savior. Isn't that something? Leonardo had offended this man, tried to paint the face of Jesus, couldn't do it. Only after he asked the man for forgiveness was he able to complete the face of Jesus. Friends, I'm here to ask you today, do you want to complete the face of Jesus in your life? In other words, do you want your relationship with Christ to be solid and strong? Think about it. Don't you want your relationship with Jesus Christ, your Savior, Savior of the world, to be strong and solid? How do you complete the face of Jesus in your life? How do you solidify your relationship with Jesus Christ? Going to the one you offended and asking for their forgiveness. Making sure that you forgave the person who offended you, and making sure that you've asked forgiveness of the person that you've offended. In other words, having forgiveness covered in all the areas of your life. Forgiving your offender and asking the offended for their forgiveness. Because if we don't forgive, if we don't ask others for their forgiveness, our eternal security could be at stake. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 6? Let me read it here to you. Matthew chapter 6. This is about forgiving others. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So we've got to forgive others, right? Because if we're not walking in forgiveness towards others, pretty much God is not walking in forgiveness towards us. And our eternal salvation could be at stake. And at the same time, if we want to complete the face of Jesus, make sure that our relationship with Christ is solid. Ask the person you offended for their forgiveness. Is that making sense today? That was the last quote. So does anybody in the room have any questions today on this issue? Does anybody have any comments, any input on forgiving yourself of the hurt you committed against somebody else? Anybody else have any comments today? Forgiving yourself. Remember, when it gets hard to forgive yourself, remember that God forgave you and you need to do the same to yourself, right? And for the person you've offended, just ask for their forgiveness. Amen? Simple, plain, to the point.